Veterans Videocast. You can get all of my podcasts, videos, whatever you're looking for at my website at aaron.baher.biz. And there will be a link below. I was looking at some analytics on my videos lately, and wasn't really too surprised to discover that the political ones have done a lot better than the other ones. They get about 10 times the traffic of my garden ones and so on. So I guess that means the mob has spoken. I need to do more political ones, but I'll keep doing the others too, just out of interest. And I was also reading some things about how to do videos, vlogging or vlogging, I guess they call it, and how to edit them, things like that. So I'm going to try to play with some of that. I don't know if I'm going to edit them quite like they recommend, because what they recommend, what they say works the best. I don't know what I really care for the style, but it's very rapid. Talking fast and then also editing it to take out the spaces between sentences so it's even faster. I don't know if I really care for that, but I'll do some experimenting with it. So, what's going on with Google? That's probably the story this week that I should talk about, seeing as how I'm kind of in that business. Well, the backstory of it, there have been a lot of headlines, and I don't think I've seen a headline yet that doesn't get it wrong. And they're all getting it wrong on purpose, of course. But a fellow at Google named James Damore, a programmer of some sort, I guess had one diversity seminar too many, and kind of got fed up with it, and so he wrote this memo about it and sent it to a department they have at Google that's for that sort of thing, like a complaints department, basically, where you can submit something, a suggestion for the company, something that you think needs to be changed, and then it's supposed to be anonymous. It's, you know, that's why you have this, so you don't have to take it to your boss and maybe get in trouble for it, whatever. And that was about a month ago that he did that, and someone in that department then took it and released and leaked it out, and then pretty soon leaked out his name, and then within a day he was fired, which of course proved his point that Google now does not allow dissenting opinions from the politically correct mainstream. Their attitude, the statement from their CEO was something like, you know, we welcome all opinions, but... And it basically came down to, we welcome all opinions as long as they're the right one. The headlines are all saying that he said women can't do tech, basically. That women are biologically unable to do technical work, which is not what he said. What he actually said was just something that everyone with any common sense knows, that men and women are different. Men and women have different skills, different abilities in general. Of course, there are exceptions, but that in general... men and women have different skills and different interests. And so you're not surprised if you take your car to the shop and all the guys in there changing oil are men. You don't think, wow, this is sexist. Why aren't there women in here doing this? You just understand that that's something that men do that women don't want to do. And not that it would be wrong for there to be a woman in there, but you're not surprised there isn't. And likewise, if you go to get your nails done, you're not surprised if all the manicurists are women. It's just, we're different, and it's okay. But for some reason, when it comes to technical work, I guess because it's not dirty, it doesn't seem like men's work because it's not dirty and rough, and it doesn't seem like women's work because there's no fashion or anything like that involved, so we kind of assume it's neutral and that it should be 50-50. But there are reasons why it's not 50-50. I'm going to do I'm going to do a video on programming where I think I can explain that why not just that it's a more of a men's thing, but that it's a specific kind of male brain that's drawn to it, that actually enjoys doing it. Most people, men or women, don't enjoy programming, even if they're able to. It's really a specific kind of person who does enjoy it enough to want to make a career of it. But I'll save that for another video. But Damore's point was basically, look, you keep pushing this so hard. It's like, I'm fine with, you know, it's like, I'm fine with diversity. I'm fine with women and minorities working here, however many want to, however many, you know, come in and are able to do the work. But you're pushing it so far, so hard beyond that, that, you know, we're going to these diversity seminars and we're being, you know, the men who work here, the white men especially who work here, are being treated like they're somehow guilty for keeping others out of the job, and it's just not the case. So that was the gist of his memo. And, of course, people just freaked out over it and said, you know, he's trying to keep women out of tech or whatever. And the funny thing is, he's not some sort of radical right-winger. He's not me, basically. He's basically a liberal who just said, this is getting ridiculous. You're taking this to a ridiculous extreme. So, you know, you're allowing opportunity to everyone. You're doing conventions and seminars to try to attract more women and minorities into programming. And you've gotten some, just not that many. But why isn't that enough? Why isn't it enough to just open it up, say everybody's welcome, and then leave it at that? Why do you have to keep pushing? So that was his gist of his memo, and they freaked out. People in Google started immediately demanding his firing, at least. They started making blacklists, bragging about their blacklists on Twitter and other places about how I'm going to make a list and I'm going to, you know, make sure that if I find anybody that has these kind of opinions, that, you know, he certainly isn't going to work for me, and I'll do my best to make sure he never gets another job and things like that. Again, just proving his point that they don't allow any dissent from the opinion that's allowed. So they, like I said, they fired him, and I think he's going to do just fine because he's actually good at what he does, apparently. Actually a pretty sharp guy, but the really kind of important news, that was predictable. Couldn't necessarily predict how quickly they would fire him, but that was predictable enough. The really important news was they did a poll then of their own employees, and of the ones who were willing to answer it. I mean, it's supposed to be anonymous, but you couldn't trust that. But they did a poll that found a third of their employees agreed with him. They thought he had a point. And that's a real problem for him, because that third contains all the people who do the actual work. The hard stuff that makes Google. Google hasn't done anything new that's really been successful for over 10 years. All their money comes from ads. All their money comes from AdWords, the little ads that you see everywhere. It comes from the ads, and it comes from selling the data that they accumulate through the ads, because they use those ads to track you, to track your movements around, to track the kind of stuff you click on and all that, to match it up with your demographics, and then they sell all that. So that's where their money comes from. Now, they've tried all these other things that they call moonshot projects that, if they worked, they could be just as huge as that. But none of them have worked. So they've been pouring money into stuff like driverless cars and Google Glasses and these different things that are just all money sinks. And they get away with it because they have piles of money. But none of them are catching on. So they're still stuck with all their eggs in this one basket of advertising. And they haven't come up with anything new since really the thing that kicked them off, which was, instead of deciding how to rank pages in a search engine based on the words on the page, we'll rank them based on other pages that link to that. In other words, we'll rank them based on popularity, and we'll determine their popularity based on how many other sites link to them, and the quality of those sites, which is also determined by their popularity. They call it PageRank. It was a brilliant idea, and that's what made Google take off. That's what made them so much better than the other search engines at the time when they got started. Because the others, Yahoo and AltaVista and all those, they were basing their rankings on if you search for something, if you search for blue widgets, they based it mainly on where on the page the words blue and widget appeared. Did they appear as, how many times did they appear? Did they appear as a phrase? Did they appear towards the top of the page or just the bottom? Things like that. And that was pretty easy to game. If you wanted people to come to your page to buy blue widgets, it was pretty easy to fill up your page, and there were all sorts of tricks with putting hidden text and stuff like that. And so this PageRank idea got around all that and completely changed it. Now, people came up with ways to game PageRank by, like, having 1,000 sites all linked to each other and stuff like that, but they've had to work on that over the years and make it smarter. But basically, that's the one thing they did. They came up with PageRank, which was brilliant. That put them on top. And then once they were on top, they were able to use their ads to make a huge pile of money. So that's the success of Google. Everything else, all the other stuff they do, the Google Chrome, the Google, what do they call it? Even Android is not a moneymaker. In the sense that the AdWords are. I mean, it may be in the black, but it's not keeping Google going. And it sucks anyway. It's broken Linux is what it is. So to get back to the current situation, the CEO of Google flew back from where he was on vacation somewhere overseas. He's Indian. I don't think he was in India. I think he was on vacation somewhere. So he flew back and tried to get everything under control. They figured out a third of our employees agree with this guy, and we just fired him and bashed the hell out of him. So what do we do now? So then they decided they were going to have a meeting of all 60,000 employees. And that's something I was going to say earlier. When I said of the third of the employees that agree with the guy, those are the ones that really do the work that works, the stuff that works. Google has expanded because they need so many people. Just part of it's watchers, but they need so many people because of their PageRank system. They need a lot of people to just look at sites and see, hey, is this site ranking, or are they doing something that's cheating our algorithm and getting them better rankings than they should have? Because it's mostly automatic. You can't have people checking websites when there's billions of websites in the world, or millions at least. Billions is probably too large, but you can't have people checking them all and ranking them all, so it's all done automatically. But once in a while, somebody complains that their site disappeared from the rankings or something like that, or somebody puts in a complaint and says, this site's crap, why is it number one in the rankings? And so they have people, they've accumulated a lot of people who do that, who look at sites and see, is this site scamming us somehow, or what's going on with this? Basically a big customer service department. They don't actually do customer service. You can't get any customer service out of them. But they have a lot of people who are basically overseeing the algorithm. They're not coders. They couldn't write the algorithm or really even understand it. They're just there to look at sites and that kind of thing. Now, they've also added a whole slug of new people in the last year because to check things for the proper opinion, because, and I'll get to the reason for that in a little bit, but, so, a company the size of Google that has been growing fast for, you know, I guess 20 years now, has a lot of people beyond just the people who make the stuff, who make the company make money. You've got a whole lot of people that have just accumulated who do other things. It doesn't necessarily mean those things are useless, but if those people left, you could replace them and it wouldn't kill your business. But they do have a small number of people who do the really hard stuff, who keep working on the algorithm and keep making their searches faster and better and that kind of thing, who make the ad system work without people finding ways to cheat it, because I guarantee you there's people trying to figure that out every day. So they do have this small core group of really smart people who make the stuff work, and I guarantee you those people are in that one-third who aren't happy. And so they found that out. So they decided to have this big meeting of all 60,000 people, not in one place, I assume. And people were going to be able to ask questions, get their questions answered, and then they canceled the meeting because they said there were signs that the word about this was getting out, that it was leaking out. They weren't able to keep the meeting itself secret, and they figured a lot of the employees said, I don't think you'll be able to keep our questions secret. We're going to get outed. And a lot of the executives at Google who have been making these decisions, their names have been discovered and outed. It's kind of funny because Google, they're in the business of collecting your personal information and selling it, and yet they're not very happy about having their own personal information out there. So they decided to have this meeting so they could all talk about it and have a big group hug and make it okay, and then they realized this is all going to get leaked out. Anything that gets said in this meeting is going to get leaked out, and we're going to look like morons. And so they canceled the meeting, and that's kind of where things stand now. It'll be interesting to see what they do next. I imagine they will start doing more of what they've been doing. Because they'll double down. I mean, we know they'll double down. That's one of the laws of SJWs. I can't remember. I always get 2 and 3 mixed up. I can never remember if that's number 2 or number 3, but they will double down. But this is not something that just happened. This is something that's been coming for a long time. It's been growing, and it's inevitable. Imagine that you're a billionaire who owns a social media site like Google or Facebook or Twitter, and you also have political opinions. And being a billionaire, you put large amounts of money into your political opinions, into causes and candidates and foundations and stuff like that. They all do, and they're all left wing, and so that's what they're putting their money into, is politically correct causes. And open borders, like Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of Facebook, has an open borders foundation that he started that he puts a lot of effort into. So you're sitting there as a very successful person with a lot of money, and you're putting some of it into these political causes. And you have a social media company that has always been just basically open to whatever the users wanted to do with it, as long as it wasn't illegal. Because that's how you got people to come and use it in the first place. When you started it, you needed lots of people to come use it, because you need a critical mass of people for social media to work. There's no advantage for me joining a social media site if none of my friends are on it. So you need to get people there somehow. And so at the beginning, you make it as open and as easy for people to join as possible. It's free, it's easy to join. There's lots of cool, you know, games and stuff that you can play for free. So you make it just totally open. You can say what you want, post what you want, just come use our site, because that's the only way you can get it built up and successful. But as time goes by, and then when you are successful, and you don't necessarily need one more user anymore, you start to notice, well, hey, some of these people on my site are using it to work against me, to work against my political causes. I've got, you know, If I'm a billionaire who wants to take guns away from everybody because I'm for gun control, and then I see, well, there's people on my site using my site to spread their pro-gun propaganda. You know, if I'm pro-abortion, like, well, there's people on my site pushing pro-life and attacking Planned Parenthood. I'm giving money to Planned Parenthood, but people are using my website to attack Planned Parenthood. That's not, you know, I don't have to put up with that. So that's the situation they found themselves in, was, you know, okay, I've gotten my site to be popular now, but now what do? I've got these people on using my site for things I don't like. And now, because it is so popular, I can afford it if I lose some of those people. So in recent years, they had started trying to not really crack down, but sort of throw a wet blanket on people they didn't agree with who were using their sites. So like on Twitter, if you went on there and said certain things about certain people, you would get suspended for a day. If you said the same thing about someone else in the other direction politically, you wouldn't. So there was a lot of just kind of like I say, not cracking down, but just kind of making it harder, sort of sidelining certain people. Google had started, it's only been a couple weeks ago now, they announced that for YouTube, which, if you don't know, Google owns YouTube, that YouTube, they had hired a bunch of left-wing advocacy groups to basically act as opinion police and find videos on YouTube that have offensive opinions so that they could be either removed or demonetized. You can, if you put videos on YouTube, you can, you know, you see ads on YouTube videos all the time. Well, if you monetize your ads, then you get a little piece of change out of those ads. I haven't done that with mine, but you can do that. And they've been demonetizing people who had right-wing opinions. So Paul Joseph Watson, I think, said all of his videos that criticized Islam have been demonetized recently. Now, nobody's getting demonetized who criticizes the Catholic Church. It's only in one direction. So it's not like they're saying, okay, you know, there's too much, you know, they're not saying, well, you know, there's too much religious fighting going on, so we'll suppress it all. No, it's always one direction. So, like I said, if you're the billionaire owner of something like this, you're going to start cracking down on it. You're going to start trying to suppress that. But at the same time, you still want people to feel like your site is open. And so you're going to be careful about it. You're not going to go too far until it comes to a point where you realize even my trying to suppress them is making them worse. You know, they noticed when we demonetize their videos, and so now they're doing videos about us demonetizing their videos, and they're putting them out on other sites, and the word is getting out that we're doing this. So every time they try to suppress the opinions they don't like, it really just makes them worse. It really just multiplies them. And so this has been building, because, like I said, if you're the billionaire owner of one of these sites, how long are you going to let it be used against you, against the things you care about? You're just not. Eventually, you're going to say, "Well, I would rather shut it all down than, you know, have this go on and have these people just keep growing and using my site in this way." But it hadn't come to that. It hadn't come to that yet until the election. Basically, the election was the thing that told them, that told the Zuckerbergs and the others that it really does matter. These opinions are getting out. They're reaching people, and we can't just play nice with them anymore. We have to start shutting them down. And so Mark Zuckerberg made an announcement pretty soon after the election that Facebook was gonna crack down a lot harder. Of course, he said crack down on fake news, but when he says fake news, he just means news he disagrees with. And that's what's going on with Google now too. With YouTube, is they're cracking down on opinions they don't like. If you criticize Islam, they're going to take you down. They're going to take you out. I don't know whether this video will survive on YouTube, so I'll be putting it other places too, and link into those. But it really was inevitable, because once dissenting opinions started to grow and be able to use social media well, the owners of it, the people in charge, Google doesn't, I don't know if they really have owners anymore, but the CEOs, whoever's in charge, are not just going to let that keep happening. They're going to shut it down. And they are private companies. You know, they have a right to do that. That's the thing. You know, Facebook, Google, Twitter, these are all private companies. You have no right to free speech on them. And that's what their defenders will say, is, well, there's no right to free speech here. This isn't a public park. This isn't a public utility. And that's true. It's just that they've always presented themselves as if they were those things. They've always presented themselves as if, you know, we care about, you know, we're welcoming to all opinions. We're welcoming to all types of people. You know, we care about you being able to get your ideas out there. And that isn't true, but that's the way they've always presented it. But they do have a right to do this, unless the government would come in like they did in the case of Standard Oil or AT&T and say, this company is too large, has too much power, is too much of a monopoly, and so we're going to break it up, or we're going to turn it into a public utility of some sort. You know, they took AT&T and they broke it up into several pieces, I don't know how many, and those became the regional phone companies across the country. You know, it's possible something like that could happen, but I don't necessarily advocate something like that. I'd rather just see a private free market solution to this, which will be people realizing, hey, I can't, if my opinions aren't approved by the elites, by the people who set the mainstream limit, you know, the limits on mainstream thinking, I'm going to have to go somewhere else. I'm not going to be able to trust that I can just put all my videos on YouTube and that they won't just disappear one night, or that they won't knock my monetization level down compared to others, or they won't tinker with them in some way. So, you know, people are going to catch on to that. They're already starting to catch on to that. They're going to go elsewhere, and eventually something else will rise up to take the place of Google, just as Google rose up to take the place of AltaVista and Yahoo and other search engines before it. So that would be my preference over a government solution to it. So what are your alternatives if you don't want to keep using Google, if you don't want to play that game where they get all your data, but you can't count on them to not be massaging it somehow and massaging the results you get, so when you do a search, you're not necessarily getting the best results. You're getting the results that somebody at Google said you should get. Because that's the thing, too. They're starting to mess with their search results and say, well, some search results are offensive. We're not going to show those. And I don't mean offensive in the sense of nudity or foul language. I mean offensive in the sense of political opinions that are offensive. So they've even come up with this new thing that they just announced the other day. I'm not going to be able to think of the name of it. But they call it an AI. It's not AI, but it's not artificial intelligence. But it's a text analyzer that tries to determine whether a piece of text is offensive and be automated. So somebody doesn't have to look at it. It can just analyze this text and try to determine whether it's offensive. And so people have been playing with it and putting in different things. So like one thing they put in was, I think all children should be vaccinated. He was like, I think all children should be vaccinated for the sake of the public good or something like that. And it came up and said that was just fine, 0% offensive. And then they put in, I think vaccinations are harmful and cause autism. And it came up like 70% offensive. So, you know, that's somebody's opinion about what's offensive. Somebody said anything negative about vaccines, that's offensive. Anything positive about the vaccines, that's not offensive. So this is an experimental thing. I mean, we don't know if they're using this in their search results yet, but they could be. It's being presented as something you can use on your blog, or that you could use on your blog for blog comments. It's another way to try to keep offensive stuff out of your blog comments, which is always an issue for people. But it's not offensive in a objective way, like, you know, the 7 words you can't use on TV. It's somebody's opinion as to what political opinions are offensive. So so if you want to use alternatives, if you want to just reduce your Google footprint, that's the way I look at it, because you can't really not use Google on the internet these days. For one thing, most websites you go to have a connection to Google. Either they have ads on the page, or they use Google's analytics to track how their pages are doing, how many people have landed on them, that kind of stuff. You can't use the internet and not use Google, but you can reduce your Google footprint. You can, if you have a Gmail account, you can get an account somewhere else. At least make sure you're not relying on your Gmail account as your only account. You can use a different search engine. I've been using DuckDuckGo for years. It's DuckDuckGo.com. It actually does, I would say, a better job than Google when it comes to just everyday ordinary searches. it doesn't do as well as the bigger sites when it comes to searches for really specific technical stuff. But for just everyday ordinary searches, it does a really good job of figuring out what you're really looking for, what you're probably, even if it's not what you exactly, the words you asked for is probably what you meant. It does a good job of that. And it's written in Perl, which is my favorite language. That's really what got me interested in it in the first place, because I thought maybe I'd get involved in it, and I haven't. But so there's that. You can use DuckDuckGo.com, or you can use Bing. Bing is where I go to if DuckDuckGo doesn't give me something specific enough. Bing is, I guess, owned by Microsoft, which I'm not a Microsoft fan either, but it's getting to the point where Microsoft looks good next to Google. Let's see, what else? For other things, I don't really use Google Docs because I have a computer. I don't understand the idea of saving my documents on another computer when I have my own. What else? Chrome. When Chrome first came out, Chrome was amazing. It was so fast. It just blew Firefox away. Internet Explorer has never been in the conversation, but it blew Firefox away and just was great. And over the years, it's picked up enough bloat, I guess. It takes, gosh, on my system here, even with the power this thing has, building Chrome takes several hours. It's picked up all this bloat, and I don't know that it's really any better than Firefox anymore. I use Conqueror, which uses Firefox, but it turns it into something very different. It's a keyboard-driven browser. You wouldn't want to use that. Most people wouldn't want to use that. That's something else I've talked about one of these days, is how I do my desktop, because I've got everything now to where I rarely reach for the mouse, which is really nice, but it's not something most people would be interested in, probably. But if you do want to get away from Chrome, there is Firefox. There is Brave, actually. I know some of the people who have been involved in Brave, which is another alternative browser, and I've heard it's really good, but it's not available for FreeBSD yet, which is what I've run on my computer here, so I haven't been able to use it. Other Google things, I know there's other stuff. I mean, Google Plus, I don't think anybody uses Google Plus hardly anyway. That's another one of their projects that just never went anywhere. They thought they would make this alternative to Facebook and MySpace and those. And it had some interesting ideas, but I think it tried too hard to be, it kind of fits in with the rest of us, that it tried too hard to make it so that you could avoid anything, avoid offending anybody or being offended. With their circles idea, it was kind of like, well, I don't necessarily want everybody to see everything I say, so I'll divide my people up into circles, and that you can see positive ideas in that, where, well, I don't have to, I can have a circle for people who want to talk about programming, and that way they don't have to all see my posts about chickens or whatever. So that's a positive use for it, but I think it was really more intended for, you can make sure that you're not offending your work people over here and your church people over here, and, if there's somebody who wants to be connected to you, you need to be connected to them for work, but you don't like them, you can stick them into this circle that you never check on. Anyway, it never went anywhere. Some people use it, but it's definitely a minor thing. I don't know. That's about. I know they've got a lot of different services, but I just don't use most of them because they're just not that good. They've done a couple of really good things, and then a lot of not so good things. So that's my long rambling take on the Google situation. Hope it summarized things fairly well. like I said, Google, this isn't really new. It's just something that's been coming for a long time, something that was probably inevitable because social justice warrior convergence is what it is. And once you get enough of them in a company, certain things are just going to take their course. And it's probably a good idea to, like I say, reduce your Google footprint if you can. At least don't put all your eggs in the Google basket. Don't just use all their stuff because it's easy. Make sure you have alternatives. Oh, that's another thing. Blogger. If you blog, one of the places you can have a free blog is on Blogger or Blogspot, which Google bought years ago. If you have a blog there and you think you might say something offensive, your blog could go away one day. So make sure you have backups. Make sure you have somewhere else to go if you need to. So just make sure you have alternatives. That's a good policy anyway on the internet. We don't want everybody having to be dependent on one thing that could go away someday. Redundancy is always good. So that's my take on Google. And thanks for watching, listening. And I'll be back with something else another time. And don't forget, you can get all my podcasts, webcasts, whatever we call these, at aaron.bauer.biz. Thanks for watching.